The Holy Gospel according to Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, brought spices so that they might go and anoint Jesus' body. And very early, on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. And they entered the tomb, and they saw there a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out, and they fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. The Gospel of the Lord. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia.
The text that I got brought bad news from my mom. The nephew of my cousin's spouse, a young man named Travis, had been in a motorcycle accident. Now, most of my relatives live in Nebraska, and Travis lived in a small town called Gothenburg. He was riding his motorcycle on the way to work on an early morning with thick fog. And Travis was struck by an oncoming automobile who was passing another vehicle. And he was in critical condition. My mom later emailed that it was particularly sad, this accident, because it was a big family wedding happening the next Saturday. The news got worse when my mom then told me that they had read online that Travis had died. The truth is, Travis hadn't died. It happens more than you think. People Google the name of someone and maybe one other thing, like Travis Pieper, motorcycle accident, and enterprising web marketers on the other side of the world take advantage of situations void of much information. Then they drive traffic to hastily assembled online articles and YouTube videos. And we believed this. It had to be true. It was on the internet. These fake death pirates post fake death obituaries. One person said, who had been involved, "It's horrific and it's disturbing because it's so predatory." And these days, you don't know what to believe anymore. What's fake? What's a scam? What's a conspiracy? The death of Jesus brought many different stories and many different interpretations. Some thought that Jesus was God and never died. Others called the news that he was risen an idle tale. Still others thought his body had been stolen from the tomb. Now some people today are believers because of the resurrection. And others are not, because they can't make sense of it with their rational minds. So what are you to believe? This morning we are shouting, Christ is risen. We want to believe that life is stronger than death. But how do you have hope with the conflict and the war in the Middle East, when the death toll and humanitarian crisis in Gaza is beyond comprehension? How do you believe in the resurrection amid growing nationalism, xenophobia, poverty, racism, greed, and grabs for power, not to mention climate change? And especially when the internet feeds different interpretations of everything, and it seems almost half of the country believes things that blow our minds. Will everything turn out well in the end? Is that what we're celebrating today? Is that faith, or is that naive optimism? Is that the message of Easter? Now, the gospel we heard, Mark, the earliest one written, is sparse and it's disquieting, and it ends awkwardly. Did you catch that? No one sees the risen Jesus. Peter and the other guy disciples are nowhere to be seen. At the tomb, a white-robed figure tells the women that Jesus is no longer there, that he's risen. And the women are told to tell the other disciples, the men, the good news. But it kind of freaks them out. Terror and amazement take hold of them. And this story that we just read ends in silence and fear and flight. That's so different from the other Easter stories we hear other years. You know, the one where Mary talks to Jesus, the risen Jesus talks to Mary in the garden, or appears and disappears. With so many different stories, what are we supposed to believe? Maybe Mark's account is what some of us need this year. The ending doesn't wrap everything up neatly. There are more questions than answers. It leaves room for doubt and wonder. It invites us to ponder what the resurrection might mean for us today. Yet still, so many choices, so many religions, so many denominations, so many philosophies, so much information. What are we to believe anymore? After all, don't you do it too? You enter a question into Google. Google knows everything. And an online buffet is spread with more information than we could ever take in. We have more information at our fingertips than at any time in history. It leads one author to posit that we are addicted to knowing. The authors of The Distracted Mind write that as humans, we have a drive to forage information in the same way that animals forage for food. But isn't our faith about information? Protestantism has been all about believing the right things. But Islam and Judaism, they're more about practicing their faith. Ritual, service, action. We believe in God the Father Almighty. That's what we say in the creed. But if belief, stick with me, if belief is assenting to certain propositions, certain doctrines, certain ideas, it's all in the head. So if you struggle with saying the creed that way, one writer suggests bringing back an older way of thinking of belief. Belief as trust. I trust in God. I give my heart to the God we proclaim in the creed. So what would Easter mean if it just weren't something you believe in your mind? Maybe it would be encountering God as mystery, opening your hearts to something beyond yourselves. It would be letting the blossoming buds and trees and flowers be your spiritual guides. If you're a bit bewildered by trying to make sense of things today and what it has to do with God, if you struggle with your faith and even what you believe, there's a place for you in this community. Together we explore the questions of faith. Yes, we're part of the Catholic, that is the universal church of the ages. So yes, that means we say the creed. But we also experience resurrection through community, through music and art and beauty, through acts of justice. I tell you, and you know it too, there's more bad news to come. Texts and emails and online reports and conspiracy theories and fake news, it's the way things are today. But we gather here every Sunday to proclaim the good news that Christ is risen, that life is stronger than death, that goodness is stronger than evil, that light is stronger than darkness, that winter finally gives way to spring, and it's not so much about certainty in the mind, but mystery in the heart. Easter dawns, and there are signs of resurrection right all around us. In a world of hate and injustice and violence and racism, there are people embodying mercy and compassion. In a world of lies and greed, there are people striving for justice and peace and truth. Christ is risen, we proclaim. Christ is risen, we shout. Christ is risen, we sing and play our hearts out, not because we know it in our minds, not because we read it online, but because we sense it in our hearts and in our bodies, because we taste it in bread and wine, because the presence of Christ here this morning stirs us to wonder and praise, and because Easter propels us to be signs of good news. Good news in the world. Amen.